for this morning. Our text is going to be, we'll read 1 through 9, but we're going to concentrate on 8 and 9. If you're able, please stand at the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You may be seated. Let's pray together before we continue on. Father, we again thank you that we have this morning to open your word. I pray that you would teach us from it. Lord, you know the world that we live in today, and you know all of the distractions. You know each one of us as we sit here in each pew, and you know all the different directions our hearts and our minds and our souls are being dragged to and fro here and there. As we recognize that this morning, Lord, I ask that you would quiet our hearts, that you would quiet our minds, that you would quiet our souls, and that we would rest in you on this Lord's Day. Father, speak to us. May we look into your word and be changed. Use your Holy Spirit to convict. May we experience your power in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we consider our text this morning, I would like to spend a little bit of time just kind of checking in with you. I want to ask you how you're doing. How are you doing against your enemies? Maybe I need to qualify that question. What do I mean by enemies? By enemies, I mean, how are you doing with your enemies in the world? And your own flesh and the devil. Because I believe those enemies are affecting us in our world and in our culture today. And in order for us to battle against an enemy, it's important for us to be able to recognize him when we see him, right? I think a lot of times we're getting impacted by this enemy and we're not even realizing it. And I'm just going to tip the iceberg here, but I wanted to point out just a couple things that may be affecting you. Did you know that digital market experts estimate that the average American sees between 4 and 10,000 ads in one day. So somewhere between 4 and 10,000 times every day, the world, the flesh, and the devil is telling you and me that what you have is just not good enough. Right? It's telling you what you look like, your weight, your height, your complexion, your skin tone or color, your nose, everything about your body could use a little shaping up. A little nip, a little tuck, make it better, and then you'd be happy. What you wear, from the hat on top of your head, your shirt, your pants, your shoes, all of it, it just needs a little update. Right? You're stuck in the, like your wife, my wife tells me, you're stuck in the 80s. Your wardrobe is just not good enough. What you act like, your personality, you're just not, it's ads, but it's also social media. It's the things that we see on TV. I wish I was just as funny as that guy, then I would be happy. Or I wish I was as smart as those people that play Jeopardy, and then, man, my life would be just grand, right? I wish I wasn't so nerdy, or I wish I was a little bit more nerdy, or I wish I was more athletic, or I wish I was this, or I wish I was that. We're being affected by these things every day in our culture. What you drive, where you live, what you live in, your family, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, all of these things, they just need to be a little bit better. And you need to be a little bit better, because what you are is just not good enough. You just don't measure up to what you thought you would be at this point in your life, right? You look back 10 years ago, and you realize, maybe I just wasn't quite as good as I thought I was 10 years ago. You're thinking 10 years in the future, and you're thinking, I'm really going to have arrived. And then you realize that you looked 10 years in the past, you look back and you're like, I was supposed to be further along than this. And we're just not happy with ourselves. All these things just aren't good enough. And when we're speaking of the ads, or we're speaking of social media, you're thinking about Facebook or MySpace or whatever your MySpace. That's really old now, isn't it? That's not even a thing anymore. I'm going to stop so I don't show any more of my ignorance. But you're thinking about all these things. A lot of times, you may think they're harmless. And yeah, sometimes they can be harmless and they can be used for good. But if we dig a little bit deeper and we use some of our essential thinking skills, we can see that these things can become destructive. We start falling for these things. But this morning I'd like to talk about your mind. And the title of our talk this morning is Set Your Mind on These Things. Think on these things. And it's taken straight out of our text in Philippians. We don't do a lot of thinking these days. Do you realize that? And it's actually contrary to what the Bible is calling us to do. We like to check out. We like to go to work, do our job, and now it's time for me to take a deep breath. Now it's my time. And on our time, we definitely don't, or most of us, me included, we don't want to spend our time on doing some serious reflecting on God's Word. And it's important that we do. Because in Proverbs 23, verse 7, says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's not that you are what you think you are. Rather, you are what you think. What about your mind before you come to know the Lord? I mean, this struggle that's going on inside each one of our own minds, it's serious. Well, I confess to you the struggle that was going on inside my own brain just a few weeks ago, and that it's on a daily basis for all of us. We have a struggle and it's real. And what are we using to combat that? Well, let me take you back to what your mind was before you came to know the Lord in a saving way. Okay? What does God's Word say about it? I'm going to give you some scripture really quick. May not have time to look it all up, but write it down and check. Be like the noble Bereans and look at the scriptures and tell if what I'm saying is true or not. I challenge you to do that. Romans 1:28, the first thing is that God gave them up to a reprobate or debased mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Ephesians 4:17 and 18 says, now this I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So the mind, apart from Christ, is ignorant, blind, futile, dark, useless, and worthless. Is you going to tell that to your coworker who doesn't know the Lord Monday morning? That's not the greatest evangelistic message, is it? It's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of God's word. That's what our minds were before. Ignorant, blind, futile, dark, useless, worthless. Do we still struggle with those things? That's the part of the remaining flesh that remains in us that we're struggling with our mind. When we check out and don't use our mind with the power of God that He has given us, yeah, we have some characteristics like that. But what are we now? What is our minds now after we come to know the Lord? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says that the word of the cross is foolishness or folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. And we have that. We should have that living in our lives as Christians. Consider the parable of the sower explained in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and I'd like for you to really consider anytime it's saying understand or think, that's what I'm wanting you to zero in on this morning. Does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Notice there you have three types of soil that's unfruitful. That's unsaved people. Do you know that there's also different types of yields for the good soil? One case, there's 100, and another 60, and another 30. Various degrees of fruitfulness. Do all Christians bear the same fruit? No. But guess what? They're all fruitful. Good fruit is produced by the children of God. Bad fruit is produced by the children of their father, the devil. So we experience the power of God and we bear fruit. Next thing is, we're commanded not to be anxious in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they, or of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith! Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Boy, isn't that the truth. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his classic Sermon on the Mount, writes, faith, according to our Lord's teaching in this paragraph, is primarily thinking. And the whole trouble with a man of little faith is that he doesn't think. He allows circumstances to bludgeon him. And if you're born after the year 2000, bludgeon means to beat up. We must spend more time in studying our Lord's lessons in observation and deduction. The Bible is full of logic, and we must never think of faith as something purely mystical. We do not just sit down in an armchair and expect marvelous things to happen to us. This is not Christian faith. Christian faith is essentially thinking. Look at the birds. Think about them. Draw your deductions. Look at the grass. Look at the lilies of the field. Consider them. Faith, if you like, can be defined like this. It is a man insisting upon thinking when everything seems determined to bludgeon and knock him down in an intellectual sense. The trouble with the person of little faith is that instead of controlling his own thought, his thought is being controlled by something else. As we put it, he goes round and round in circles. That's the essence of worry. That is not thought. That is the absence of thought. End quote. I thought that was worth sharing with you. A couple of things really stand out to me in there. Going round and round in circles. I'm sure you don't ever do that, right? Consider your rut wisely. Because you're going to be in it for the next 60 miles, right? Isn't that what that says? Some of you are hoping or wishing you were in one of those mountains right now instead of sitting in here. Round and round, ruminating over the same thing. you get up first thing in the morning and your husband or wife says something to you and, oh, don't they just know that really sets me off? And just going round and round in the same circle. Or you get, most of us in here had psychology in high school, and you remember that Pavlov's dogs experiment where they ring the little bell and with the dogs, and what'd they do? They salivated because they were feeding them at the same time. Is that what you're like? You're getting your buttons pushed by somebody. It's just like the ringing of the bell. Oh, it's time for me to be anxious again. It's time for me to worry. Has anyone told you about your worry? You worry. You think too much. Oh, really? I think he's saying here that you think too little about the wrong things. You're spending too much time thinking about the wrong things. You're putting your faith in the wrong things. So we better get back to our text. But before we do, I just asked you a question a while ago. How are you doing against your enemies? And before you give an answer, can we just drop the facade? Can we be real with one another? Because I'm guessing that most of us on any given Sunday are limping in here feeling pretty bludgeoned by the world, by their own remaining flesh and the devil. We're being impacted by our culture today that's more concerned with what's expedient or what's convenient or practical, even if it's immoral. The question is not whether it's right or whether it's good. The question is, does it work? And how does it make me feel? And you and I are affected by this on a daily basis. It creeps into our lives. It creeps into the church. And we limp in here hoping to get our spiritual fix on a Sunday. And then we check out throughout the week, sometimes never even cracking God's Word. We come in here with our dirty minds, our dirty hearts, and they need to be washed. How does that happen? It needs to happen daily. As Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Young people, are you struggling with what God's will is for your life? Are you even thinking about that? What is God's will for my life? Just told you right there. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to discern, you'll be able to understand what the will of God is. Have you ever wondered why, after spending a day of gratifying your own flesh by binge watching your favorite Netflix TV show, or maybe you turned on Fox News first thing in the morning, you retired people who don't have to get up and go to work, or CNN News or whatever, NBC, MSNBC, whatever news station you like. You turn it on first thing and it was on all day long and you barely moved. Or You played Fortnite for 2 or 12 hours. I don't even know if that's the game anymore, but all of us in here have this tendency to take something that's not bad in and of itself and take it to the extreme. But have you ever noticed after you've satisfied your own desires for those things that that evening or the next day you just feel lousy? Or maybe you're in a bad mood, a little irritable, or just foul. You ever wondered why that is the way it is? I've noticed that. I've done it. I'll raise my hand. I'll admit. After watching way too much TV on a given day, the next day I found myself just in a foul mood. Just little things make me mad that aren't even really anything at all. Why is that? Well, you aren't made for binge drinking. You aren't made for binge eating. You aren't made for binge watching. You aren't made for any type of bender. Why were you made? What does the catechism say? You were made to glorify God. Oh, well, how can you glorify God? By loving Him and doing what He commands. So what does He command? Back to our text. If we start in verse 1, the bottom line of this whole passage is right there at the end of verse 1. Stand firm in the Lord. Spiritually stable. On the contrary of that, we have the James 1 man who is double-minded. He's unstable in all his ways. He's tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine. You ever feel like that? Wonder why? You're unstable. You're not grounded in truth. Our desire, God's desire for each one of us, is to be spiritually stable. We don't have time to go through all these verses. Come back tonight and we'll look at 4 through 7. But this morning, I would really, just in the remaining time that we have, I'd like to call your attention to verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Because I think this really tells us how to control what we are thinking about. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. What is truth? What is truth? Is it relative? What's true for you may not be necessarily true for me. Is that what we're standing on? No. I'll tell you, standing behind this pulpit, that is not what we're standing on. God's word is truth. Amen. 100%. When you think about Ephesians chapter 6, when putting on the whole armor of God, putting on that belt of truth, did you know we really can't benefit from all the other aspects of the armor without having that belt of truth? I was at the station yesterday and I asked Heidi to iron me some pants and shirt, and she had a belt out that was given to me by someone that's a little big. She saw I didn't have the belt on, she picked out. And she asked me, what was wrong with that belt? I said, it's a little big. It doesn't quite hold up my pants. I mean, they weren't going to actually like fall down, but they were just going to be a little saggy all afternoon. Because it was that belt, particular belt, is not actually true to my waistline. It's actually a little big, right? Yeah, that's the same. You see the mental You see the picture there. When it's, this belt is true, I can tighten it a little untrue and be a little uncomfortable, but when it's perfect, it's true, it's right, and it's good, because it's just the right dimension of my waistline. Truth. Whatever is true, God's word is true. And as Christians, when we meditate on God's word, it fits us, right? He teaches us by the power of His Spirit. The second thing is whatever is honorable. What does that word mean? All rise for the honorable Judge Judy. Well, honorable is worthy of respect. The Christian is to meditate on what is worthy, worthy of awe and adoration. Listen to this quote by Matt Chandler. He says, "Experiencing and understanding the supremacy and beauty of Jesus Christ is what we're looking for that ultimately conquers and overcomes the other desires of our hearts. How we go about it varies, but here is what should be true about everyone. We should be rightly seeing Jesus Christ for who He is and what He has done. Whatever is just." What does just mean? Just means right. Right thinking leads to right living. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Have you ever noticed that you have thought about something right and good and it just seems to happen? Have you ever noticed when you think about something sinful and you make a plan in your heart to be sinful, you carry it out? As a man thinketh, so he is. Right thinking is in harmony with God's divine standard of holiness. Whatever is pure, morally clean, and undefiled. Right? You single men, that's what you're looking for, right? Purity. You single women, that's what you're looking for, right? Purity. So we understand that when we are talking about purity when it comes to God and holiness. This purity is the opposite of the things which are convenient for your immediate gratification. Just think about that for a minute, teenagers. Because the world's telling you, no, you want it all and you want it now. You're not going to wait. I know that's what God's word tells you, but true happiness is now. You can't be waiting. Oh, you're missing out on so much. God's word is best. Whatever is lovely. I love this part. Lovely people think about lovely things. If you tell that to your wife, you can bet she's going to tell it back to you at some point in the day. Just saying that, right? Whatever is commendable, of good report, kindness, courtesy, and respect for others. What is edifying or building one another up? Loving good news, not bad news. Of good report, that's what we're talking about. So, back to the example of keeping the news on all day long, every day. You're getting bad news reports over and over and over again. That's not what the child of God is supposed to be filling our minds with. Are we to be informed? Yes, we're to be informed. I'm not saying we're not. But if that's all that's being put into your brain, you're thinking about the wrong things way too much. If there is any excellence or virtue, the virtue that he's talking about is the fruit that grows on the tree of salvation. The trunk of the tree is faith, and the roots are embedded in grace. If there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So, just I hope you remember this picture back here, and tomorrow morning, whenever you feel yourself starting to go down that same track, be mindful of that. Say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. He doesn't want me in that rut. He wants me on the narrow path. Look at that verse 9 as we're closing it up here. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Those are action verbs, aren't they? All of this flies right in the face of just ask Jesus into your heart and everything's going to be okay. Like, basically, you ask Jesus into your heart and there's never any action on your part. There's never any working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You just do that and everything's going to be good, right? I hope you're not leaning on that. Because what you have learned and received and heard and seen, Paul's saying, look what I've done. Look at my example. Do it. Practice these things. And if you do, what will happen? And the peace of God will be with you. So our circumstances are to be surrounded by prayer. That's verse 6 that we're going to talk about tonight. Our mind is to be drilled in the truth of God's Word. And my life is to be subject to the instruction of Scripture. When other people come with anxiety, we have a promise for them to discover. We should be a beacon of light for them to see the real and not the phony, the serious rather than the frivolous, the right rather than the convenient, the clean and not the dirty, the loving, not the discordant, the helpful, not the critical. What are we to do with this? I confess again to you this morning, I have a long ways to go regarding this. I was talking to the guys at the station yesterday. My whole school experience, I could care less about learning. I could care less. And that was my, listen to me, teenagers, junior high, elementary, don't be like me. Give me a grade, give me that diploma, I'm moving on. I did not care. I did not apply my heart to learning. It was to my own demise. I was not wise. I was immature. I was ignorant. I was futile in my own thinking. Did I get the grade? Sure. But what did I get in return? Did I get any wisdom? Did I get any learning? No. Not at all. It wasn't until I was completely out of school that I ever applied myself. I think I was in the fire academy, and I'm like, my life could be on the line here. I think I better learn a thing or two. I remember having a conversation with my dad a few years after I got on the fire department and being frustrated. I was probably 22, 23 years old because, like, Dad, it's like everything in life. It's like one thing after another. I just can't wait till I get out of high school, and then I can't wait till I get out of college, and then can't wait till I get out of the fire academy. Now it's time to start studying for driver. Now, then it's just always something else. And he just smiled and laughed, and he said, You can't ever stop learning, son. That's just life. That's how it is. We have to apply, what are you saying is we have to apply our heart to wisdom. He's talking like Solomon. As a man thinketh, so he is. That's where we're at. That's what we're called to as Christians. So think about that next time you just want to keep hitting play. It's so good just to keep hitting play. I'm talking to myself here because I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop playing golf. 36 holes is just not enough to play in one day. I don't want to stop fishing. I'm good with fishing like daylight until dark. Deal with it, Heidi. Just deal with it, right? There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but we have to understand what we're called to. Glorify God. Do what He commands. That's what we're called to. A serious people. Let me close with Matthew. Well, it's verse 24, but I left the chapter out. It's a familiar passage. It's building your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, and these are the words of Jesus, and does them, will be like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. I want my house to be on a rock, don't you? Let's pray. Lord, we confess this morning that many times we are a simple people. Many times we just want to check out and not use our mind. I ask, Lord, that you forgive us of this sin. I ask that you teach us by your word and by your spirit. May you help us to put on the belt of truth each and every day. Father, I thank you that we aren't saved because we're thinkers, that our salvation lies not in what we do. I thank you that you want us to be thinkers because we are saved, and you help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.